Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, my radio listeners. It is so good to talk to you today. It has been a while, and I have missed you. I hope that you've also missed the occasion of hearing from me. This is Getting It Right with Dr. Bowles. Today's topic, if you looked ahead, has to do with the 7 easy ways to renew yourself. I thought, wow, it's springtime and everywhere you look, it looks like Mother Nature is putting on her best dress. For those who are allergy sufferers, it doesn't make you very happy because it means that you have to get your Claritin, your Allerex, and whatever else, your holistic type medications to control the itchy eyes and the sniffles. But even with that, I bet you also rejoice and the idea of a new beginning, something fresh, a renewal. It goes from leaves having dropped from a tree to bright green buds, and when the dogwoods and the crepe myrtles bloom, oh my goodness, the beauty. I was recently in South Carolina, and the dogwood trees along Spartanburg, South Carolina, Main Street, and I think it was Pine Street was a street that I was on, was absolutely beautiful. Salute to the Department of Transportation in South Carolina, because if they intended to say welcome and look what we're doing this spring, they certainly did. Today, when I started thinking about ways to renew yourself, just like you, I get into a rut or a routine, or even more challenging for me is when I finish a project and I'm left to get myself motivated to gear up and get into another one with lots of energy and full steam. And I found myself feeling very sluggish and depressed and kind of lackluster when I got back from South Carolina. I felt very needed and very dutiful. A sister had had surgery, and I was able to go and be supportive to her and her husband, and that just thrilled me, and I felt energized doing it. And then when I got back, it was, what can I do now? Well, I'm going to share with you 7 ways, and they're very easy ways to get yourself back up on top, motivated, energized, and ready to go. So what's the first step? For me, and I suggest for you, give yourself permission to step out of your routine. And you say, okay, what does that mean? If you get up every day at 7 o'clock, you have a cup of coffee, you sit and go through the channels to find something to mindlessly look at, let's do a little different. Get up at 6:30, do a little jogging in place, turn on some music, something you haven't listened to for a while. Get some motivational tapes and let that begin your day with someone suggesting how you get your energy up and keep your day flowing smoothly. That certainly is a wonderful way to alter the routine. So the primary for number 1 is alter your routine. I know it was wonderful when I had the chance and lived in a climate where walking was really nice, and I was in a college setting, so I didn't feel any way uncomfortable to get up early in the morning. I mean early, like 4:30-ish or 5 o'clock, and take a brisk walk. And in Colorado, I live very close to what is called Horseshoe Reservoir. Get that out. And I would walk all the way up the reservoir and turn around and come back. And I would feel just totally energized, and I was probably in the best shape of my life. I felt, I heard the birds, I heard the squirrels, I'd see the chipmunks. Now, what's a little bit ironic, someone came to me after I explained what I was doing, getting up so early and walking, and I was told, okay, well, at certain times of the year, be careful doing that. And I said, why is that? And they said, mountain lions come down from the mountains in Colorado following different sheep that migrate down to eat in the pastures and green grass. And shortly after they had given me that warning, there was also an incident where a jogger had been chased by a young male lion when she ran early in the morning. That did alter what I did. I didn't take my walks along And I did alter it from going all the way up to the very isolated area on Horsetooth Reservoir and began walking more in the park because they have some lovely walkways and bikeways, and Fort Collins, Colorado is where I was at the time. So with that, break up your routine. Do some jumping jacks. Walk around the block. Get a walking group with you. Do something that's out of the ordinary that you can anticipate and feel good about. I'm not an exercise person per se. If you were to tell me, let's go to the high school and run some laps, no thank you. But if I have to mow my lawn, I have no trouble giving it 40 minutes to an hour. Or if I had to feed an animal, I'll walk an animal. So I'm very goal-oriented. If you're that way, then maybe you want to look into things that help get you motivated. If you need to borrow a neighbor's dog or schedule some lessons, bike lessons, horse riding lessons, then you need to do something that meets your needs, because a lot of people say get out and walk and lose weight. If you're not one who gets out and walk, or if you don't choose or don't enjoy walking alone, if you're not in an area where walking is reasonable and you can't join a club of walkers, I know in some urban settings the malls will allow walkers to come in before the stores actually open, so that they can have a safe, dry environment for walking. So explore. Look what's in your area and take advantage of it. I have a stair stepper in my bedroom. When it's raining or I'm just kind of not ready to meet the public for whatever reason, I can still get a good aerobic workout for 10 to 15 minutes and allow myself to say, okay, here's what I'm going to do for the day. And as I plan my day, also get the blood and my heart pumping at an increased rate. So give yourself permission to step out of your routine. Whatever it is you've been doing, the same old, give yourself 15 minutes to 30 minutes to do something very different from what is usual. And you'll find that at first it's a little disoriented. And I said that with a chuckle, because you may suddenly say, gee whiz, I'm off schedule. I didn't know what to do with my car keys. Oh, my, I don't think I put my pajamas back in the right place. You will feel a little disorientation when you break your routine, but that's very healthy. It creates in your mind the necessary neurotransmitters to prevent us from developing senility or other types of dementia. The second one, and this one is a little harder for me, is live for now. Okay, what are you telling me? Many females, I can't speak for males because I happen to be of the gender female, were taught that if you overfocus, then you must be a vixen or a diva or self-involved. And some of us ingrained that so forcefully that we hesitate to think about what's best for us. And we're quick to step back and, oh, let them do it, let them have it, let them. What I'm saying to you is live in the now. If you wake up and you say, gee, Liz, I really want to soak in a hot tub, and you say, oh, I can't do that because I got to go get groceries, I have to X, Y, and Z, I promise to do Y, it might be a good idea set aside at least one day in the morning, if that's when you choose to do that, to soak in the tub. Because our brain has a sense of appreciation and value needs. If you're not meeting the necessary needs of your body, then you'll find you're compensating other ways. You drink too much, you eat too much chocolate, you're gaining weight, you're feeling stressed all the time. And there's a lot of evidence-based data that says that people who allow themselves to have joy, to absolutely do something that is encouraging to them, I was talking to my sister recently. We are so isolated in modern times because we go into our gated communities, we go into our houses, we go into our bedrooms with our own television set, our own headphones. We really don't need the outside world to the extent that we once did. Neighbors used to have conversations standing at a fence or standing under an apple tree, or as I grew up, sitting on the front porch was a big deal in the southeast United States. And the older people who sat on the porch knew all the children. They could call them out if they saw them fighting or doing something that wasn't acceptable. Or you could have someone say, come back here, honey, help me out. I got pears on the tree. I want you to pick them. You pick them for me, and I'll give you half. Or there's pecans to pick up, or there's peanuts to pull. So it was a community thing. You didn't always have a single adult who you respected and you were obedient to. And certainly that has to say that there are predators out there, and children shouldn't be totally obedient to adults. But in the neighborhood that I know, it was a very complimentary thing. Down the street was Miss Florence Hickson. She would do this for you, and as reward, she'd give you this. And up the street was Miss Roseberry, and if you helped her do this, she would give you this. No one had much money, and money wasn't even expected by most young kids who were taught chores were expected of you. And I certainly miss that kind of community awareness and young people kind of respect for the elderly. I don't see it in today's young people. I have extended myself to try and see it. I've talked to a number of others, and I've seen a lot of labeling. They'll say, oh, the millennial, speaking of a young person who is probably born in the 1990s or 94, 95, so forth, somewhat under 20 years old. I don't care to label, but the more I observe, it's hard for me to refute that the young people have less sense of respect and less idea of chores and so forth. So what does it mean to tell my generation and probably the 50-somethings to live in the now? Don't always put your needs behind someone else. That doesn't mean you need to be arrogant. It doesn't mean you become entitled. But be less self-sacrificing, and you'll find that when you renew yourself, you have more energy and patience for those that you do serve. The other one that I like, and I certainly do this all the time, you want to be an explorer. And you say, uh-oh, what do you mean by that? I'm dyslexic, and I've told you that in several other of my conversations, so I get lost easily when I'm driving, and I try not to walk in an area where I get lost. And sometimes when I move to a new location, I'll ride a bicycle or drive a car, and I retrace my steps until I've learned how to maneuver in that neighborhood. And even to this day, I have stayed in some cities a number of years and never tried a new route. And when I'm obliged to do so, I'm just surprised how much time and distance I could have saved had I known that shortcut earlier. So to be an explorer means you see a beautiful flower, you don't know what it is, go to the hardware store or the Home Depot or the Lowe's or the Sears or the Walmart and strike a conversation with someone in that area. See how much they know. What can they tell you? Go to your agricultural centers at universities and ask questions. Learn, is there a ground cover that also blooms, and how long? Is it perennial? Is it annual? Don't let your understandings to date limit what you've learned. If you like fish, go into a pet shop and ask about different kinds of fish and fish tanks. It doesn't mean that you're going to have to set one up, but it certainly doesn't hurt if you know how. The other one, do something creative. Try something new. I recently decided I wanted to sculpt. Well, I don't have the talent or the training or the pocketbook to sculpt what my mind says. I wanted to go into marble like Michelangelo and have a chisel and create this wonderfulness. Or like the Native Americans I saw when I was in Arizona, who could carve from rock and create these very wonderful looking things, or carve from wood, whittling and chipping away and defining something out of nature's bounty. But what I could do is start very slowly. So first thing I did is I found an art teacher I could talk to, and I signed up for an art class. She didn't do any of the sculpturing, but she could suggest things. So on her suggestion, I have earth clay. And for the last month and a half, 6 weeks or so, I've been building a sculpture. I've literally sculpted a head. Now, yes, there's a lot more for me to learn, but the facsimile is saying someone can look at it and say, oh, it's a man's head, and yes, that's really good. So I'm obviously learning and progressing, and I'm doing something creative, and I'm definitely doing something new. So I don't have to analyze. I can just be creative. And when I need an assessment, of a professional eye. I've literally carried my head about in the city and shown it to people and have them say, oh, the ears are too far up, or one ear is bigger than the other, or that side of the face is too slim. So I use their comments to go home and try to put in a more realistic presence, and it excites me to make these accommodations. So I'm learning it hands-on. I don't have a real official teacher, but I'm hopeful to fire this head instead of having to wet it with water and start over. I also suggest you play around with something fun. Sometimes as we grow older, we stop having fun. I have to get more aggressive in finding a swing set for adults. My greatest joy when I think about my college days, when I had all my exams and I didn't really want to be bothered with someone, I can remember going to the park in Raleigh, North Carolina. And at the time, I was very thin because I was young. I'd find a swing, and I would swing. And I just remember how I felt to feel like I'm flying and pushing off and feeling the energy of dissipation, the strength of my legs, and the height of the swing. And I found it to be just absolutely wonderful. And I don't know the last time I've been on a swing. Now, I've been on rocker chairs, and I've been on porch swings and the little glider swings, but the last time that I swung was just absolute abandonment. Now, do I know whether or not I can do that with these extra pounds I've put on since college? I don't know. But part of my claiming my joy is to get my body in shape and in a size that I'm most comfortable. And I had shared earlier broadcast that I was successful of getting 20 pounds off at the end of 2013, the beginning of 2014. And I've enjoyed that new size, and I've set a new project to go back to what I would consider my early adult size, and that will require my working on an additional 15 to 20 pounds. I've not launched that yet, and I'll certainly keep you abreast, but I'm looking to be good on the inside and good on the outside. So do something that allows you to have fun. Play around. If you have children or grandchildren, that you can make them laugh. I was talking to a nephew who's quite very much an adult, and I was just speaking freely, and he broke into laughter, and I was a bit shocked. I don't even know when some of my ideas could come across strange. And what he explained to me later in my conversation, I do my own lawn service. And in my backyard, because this property was once a farm, is a lot of clover. And this is unusual clover to my eye. It grows tall, it grows thick, and it has a bulb underneath. You can actually dig up the bulb from the clover, which means it's an annual. It has to come in every year. And I surmise this is because it was farmland. And I said just quietly one day, I need to find out if I can rent a goat. And I am serious when I said it. And he just found it so amusing that I would be looking to Google or call around to rent a goat because I wanted to allow the animal to have the nourishment of this obviously aggressive plant that came in every year on this pasture land. I have to report I did not find a goat for rent, and I have had to go out with my lawnmower and cut the grass, but I did it reluctantly because I believe in organic things, and a goat probably would have done a better job than what my lawnmower does. At any rate, do something that's funny. Make someone laugh. If you are a stand-up comic, see if you can go on some kind of nightclub air when they have open mic, or find an art, spoken art, where you can get up and do your skill. But find something that gives fun, that gives people who are listening, give yourself fun, and just be outside of that straitjacket, formal aggressiveness that is sometimes required under the title of being an adult. We often say the children grow up, or sometimes when our male counterparts are a little too silly watching a game, or they horse around, as my mom would use the expression, we'd say, grow up. Because grow up means be less silly and have less fun. And I'm actually telling you to break the rules. You don't have to be 24/7 silly and not do what is your responsibilities. but it's absolutely necessary to have that moment of giggles and play. If you watch the recent commercials and they say go to Walt Disney or Disney World or Disneyland and let that come out of you, they're essentially saying the same thing, that they show a father being Darth Vader and he inappropriately does something in a hardware store, and they project that perhaps if you went to Disney World, you could do this and enjoy it and everyone would see it as fun. Well, you don't have to expend the money to Disney World. You can create your own folly. You can have water in your backyard with a child or a grandchild. You can go to a park, as I suggested, and swing and just imagine that you are flying with the birds, the eagles, the passing ducks, that mallards that go over sometimes. So allow yourself that. And this will require that you're less critical, more open-minded. I have watched, I sometimes go to open places like Big Lots, which is a discount store in our area, or Dollar Tree or Dollar General. And I may not have anything in mind specific to buy, but the concept of watching the dynamics of people going about feeling empowered because nothing in the store is terribly expensive, and I've seen young couples bring their children and tell them they can have anything they want. And I know that's a proud moment, that you can feel confident the child picks up two or three things that you know you can pay for it and not feel like you're breaking the bank. So I like to go and be open-minded. I like to see dynamics of family. One was Saturday, got drafted more than my intent when I went to the art museum in Alexandria, Louisiana. And they had a children's day teaching them how to do luminaries. I didn't know what that meant. It's really the Chinese paper lanterns. They were using paste and crepe paper to create different colors and patterns on these lanterns. And the intent is May 1st. I think there's a night walk in the city. And if you put a small LED light, battery operated, inside of these paper Chinese lanterns, you'll have a most beautiful art display because the light will illuminate from within, and whatever the pattern is on the outside is going to be magnified. So I was watching and enjoying, and as I could, I would step in and assist and was supportive. And before I knew it, one of the persons who was officially in charge had reason to leave early, and she simply left it with me. And I had a wonderful time for another hour, maybe hour and a half, where I literally went about helping parents and children and others that were interested. Teenagers were there, and we made all kinds of lanterns. Some were very adventurous, where they used black crepe paper and then did the Batman symbol. I never thought of doing that. Some made the equivalents of jack-o'-lanterns. It was just absolutely wonderful. I got there early to watch and didn't leave for another 5 or 6 hours. So do something out of the norm. Go with an open mind and allow yourself to get drafted into service. I didn't even know what a luminary was. And before it was over, I probably helped make about 70 or 75. And answering questions and cleaning brushes and cleaning up paste spills, it was something very wonderful for me to do on a Saturday because it was certainly outside of what I generally do during the week, and I haven't interacted with that many children since I did pediatrics, and that's now many years ago. Another way is you're less extroverted. You say, well, I don't really want to hang out in a Big Lot. I don't want to hang out in a Dollar General, Dollar Tree. I'm not someone who would walk in on an affair already scheduled and sort of start working. Well, what you can do, and it can be very private, but yet give you the same types of release that I'm talking about, is write about your dreams. Please start a journal if you don't have that best friend or best companion. I shared with a sister recently that when the communities were alive and supportive, adults were always encouraging in the Black America community where I grew up, if someone came by and they said, well, how are you doing? They always knew who my mom was and who my dad was. And they'd say, how are you doing in school? And I would boldly say, I made all A's. And they would say, oh, that's wonderful. And they'd pat their pocket and they'd give me a quarter or a dime or a dollar, because in their mind, that was encouragement. That was contributing towards my dream. It was letting me know that if I were performing well, I was supported by my community. And now, as adults, we, as I mentioned, go into all of our separate entities because we can and we're very private. We lose that support. We lose emotional support. We lose the camaraderie, the sharing. You know, whenever there's grief, it's an official report through a church memo or a church email, pray for this person. It used to be, when I grew up, people would stop by the house because we didn't have a phone when I was little. I guess we didn't really get a phone until I was a teenager, mainly because we couldn't afford it, and it wasn't that necessary. Someone, as they would say, came by the house. And they do a holler out. They may say, hey, Annabelle, my mother's name, did you know? And that was our bulletin. We didn't have a CNN or a Fox or a BBC. It was someone who came by, made a statement on their way to and fro. And the other part, which was so wonderful, and I've mentioned in other broadcasts, if it were someone that was within walking distance of the house, my mother would stop what she was doing and prepare something for whomever the hardship had come to. And my sister and I would be commissioned to take it to that household. So that's how I grew up. That's what I understood to be community and family. And now I tell people I'm in my third trimester of life. I feel essentially isolated. That Facebook, you can't hear someone laugh in Facebook, and LOL is not the same as the chuckling of laughter. I remember what a wonderful sound my father had when he really laughed hard. It was a contagious, loud siren that caused people to come to see what is he laughing about. It drew you out. If you heard it, you came at a run, or you looked out the door, or you asked someone what was so funny. I can't remember the last time I heard a hearty laugh. I don't think we laugh out loud anymore. I can be in places, and I see children, I'm more apt to see them bickering and fighting than to hear them laugh. I hear children squeal or scream, but I really haven't heard anyone really laugh out loud in a long time. I told you about how I made my nephew laugh, and that was expensive me because as he began laughing, I was struck to say, what is so funny? I'm glad he enjoyed it, and I certainly felt good that I could cause him such a laugh. But I'd like to be in an environment where laughing came easy and often by many. And I'd like to be in an environment where things positive were talked about. I don't enjoy criticism and I call it nosiness. When you're in a place and the conversation is, have you heard, did you see, and whatever happened, those types of statements generally hurl in a type of criticism. And even when I have dreams like renting a goat, I felt comfortable enough to mention it to my nephew, but I probably wouldn't have spoken so freely in front of just anybody because there's so many judgmental people. So if you're in that environment that's not all supportive, let's start a journal. Write down your dreams. However while, if you want to rent a goat, write that down. If you want to swing on a park swing and imagine you're flying with overhead geese, write that down. Doesn't matter what it is. But you need to have dreams, and you need to believe in your dream, and you need to imagine and explore however wild the dream is, because you're looking for your joy. And it takes time to change your habits and patterns. So be patient, persistent, and consistent. And with that, I thank you so much for joining me today, and I look forward to the next time. So until then, let's get it right.